You're listening to Misunderstood Podcast, where we are setting the record straight on all things misunderstood. I'm your host, Kelly Hall Sabraki, pageant runner-up, model, speaker, wife, and U.S. Navy lieutenant. I may have never won a Miss USA title, but I am the queen of being misunderstood. Welcome to the show, guys. What's up, world? Welcome back to another episode of Misunderstood Podcast. So thrilled to have guest on the show today, Stephanie Lang of Stephanie Lang Photography. How are you, Steph?
So good. Thank you for having me on. This is super fun.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just a couple of girls chatting on this nice little rainy Chicago Monday.
Another one.
Another one all the time. How are you getting any photography done around here when it's like nothing but gloomy and rainy all the time?
Luckily, when you live in a beautiful city, there are some good indoor backup options. But yeah,
it's true.
It can be tough with the unpredictability of the weather. That's for sure.
Back in the day when I was a photographer many, many moons ago, I was in San Diego and I could always bank on like the beautiful backlit lighting, sunset every day. Like that was my bread and butter. And like without that, I couldn't function. Like I didn't know how to shoot as a photographer. So you are much, much better than I am because you can like flourish in multiple situations.
No, it's just, you have to get used to it in the city. You can never predict like Chicago weather, Midwest weather. It's always changing. And yeah, it's not always 70 and sunny. That's for sure.
And sunny.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like in California. So before I get into the meat of our episode, I'd love to, first of all, just tell listeners how we connected and also share a little bit about your story. So for listeners, I had Sam Hardy on the show a few episodes back. She is just this like delightful, wonderful human being. She's my neighbor, family marriage therapist, and she got engaged and you were her proposal photographer. And when I saw her pictures and she's a photographer herself, I was like, okay, whoever's going to shoot this proposal shoot is going to be good because I know how picky she is. I saw the pictures and I was like, holy crap, these are so amazing. I was floored and I stalked the heck out of you and then called you and like wanted to work with you. And then I was like, wait, like cut the professionality. Like, let's just be friends. So I reached out, invited you to dinner and here we are.
Unreal. You were so just intentional and sweet right off the bat and just like so kind about my work and process. And I was, yeah, you were so nice to me right from the start. And I remembered you because I talked to so many new people every day. And I was like, oh, Kelly, so sweet. So loved that we did dinner and later brunch and have been able to kind of grow a friendship from what was, you know, initially just an inquiry. So appreciate you for that.
Absolutely. I feel like that's one of the things I pride myself on. I have like a real talent. Like I have this like friendship radar and I can find like positive, like-minded, powerful women. And so like even when I meet you, I think people are always so intimidated to befriend professionals, you know, or people who they inquire about in like maybe a professional way. But I have become best friends with the women who spray tan me, the women who do my hair, the women who've done my makeup. And then like in your case, like photographers, I'm like, wait, let's also be friends. Like we don't have to just have a relationship in a professional capacity. So thank you so much for being here. Steph, I read your bio. I love how just like genuine you are and relatable. And I think that's going to transfer over to listeners. They're going to be blown away by your story. So why don't we just dive straight into, tell us a little bit about you and how you built this incredible business. And you're so young, like it's crazy.
Thank you. Well, I've loved every connection I've had with you since we've met. I remember when we first went out to brunch, you said to me, you know, I kind of view relationships as elevators. Either people bring you up or they bring you down. And I have such a similar mindset. And so I just love the intentionality. I love building other women up. You are such a boss lady yourself. And so
big stuff.
Having friendships and building friendships with like-minded women is such a beautiful thing. So thanks for having me on. Yeah, my story, I would say, started so long ago. I was 15. I was just like a kid with a camera and Yeah, bought my first camera, was just doing kind of like fun photo shoots with my friends, wasn't thinking much of it. Then I had a family approach me and say that like they would pay me to do a family photo shoot, which as a 15-year-old, I was like, well, that's awesome. This is going to pay way better than my job at Chick-fil-A at the time. So I, yeah, did like a family photo shoot for $100 and was like, this is awesome. And I had so much fun. From there, I was shooting like senior pictures and shooting, you know, families. And then I did engagement sessions, which really started to pique my interest. And when I was 18, I shot my first wedding and fell in love. So honestly, the rest is history. From when I was 18, I never stopped shooting weddings. I still got my college degree, but was working my way through college, paying for school. And yeah, it is the best decision I ever made. So that's how I started my career.
Wow, that's so incredible. And before we started the show, you mentioned, how did you buy your first camera? Like, it's the cutest little story.
Yeah, I know. It's so silly. I just like did a lot of odd jobs, I guess, before I was 16. And then when I was 16 is when I got my job at Chick-fil-A and started like earning enough money to get equipment and lenses and things like that. But yeah, nobody ever gave me a handout or bought me my first camera for Christmas or anything like that. I worked for everything that I have for my business was earned. And so I think that taught me from a young age, like the value of hard work and how far that can take you with consistency. And that was something that I instilled in myself at a young age and has really paid off here down the road. So yeah, that's kind of how we started.
Hey, we all have to start somewhere. Even if it's saving up your money at Chick-fil-A to buy the tool that's going to launch your professional career. So the question I always ask everyone I have on is, you know, specifically for you, what do you think is most misunderstood about building your business from the ground up in the case of you, 15 years old? Like, what's most misunderstood about that?
Yeah, I guess you can come at it from two different ways, where I'd say, if you're someone who wants to start a business, a lot of people just have no idea where to start. And I'd say a misunderstood piece of that is that you just need to start and you don't have to have it all figured out. A lot of people think they need to have all their ducks in a row and have everything, you know, in place before they can actually chase their dream. And I would say that's a huge misunderstanding, where I truly had no idea what I was doing when I was 15 starting a business, but I started, and that forever will be like the best decision I ever made, was just starting and just doing it. So I'd say that's one thing. And then another would be, a lot of people view photographers as, you know, they just take pictures. And that's so funny to me, because I joke with people that the least of what I do is taking photos. Yes, I'm running a photography business, but building relationships and being intentional with people and sales, honestly, is like majority of what I'm doing and spending my time. So I'd say that's pretty misunderstood. People thinking photographers just take pictures. It's so much more. We're running a full business and, you know, keeping track of a lot of things. And so I'd say those two things probably mainly.
There's so much to unpack there. I literally just wrote down 5 bullet points, because I can relate so much to this, and so many other entrepreneurs can relate to that. I've had previously on the show, or just like talked to in everyday settings. One being that kind of like perfection piece. Like, people think you have to have everything all together, and you have to be a subject matter expert, and you have to have all the top equipment, and you have to have all the branding, and like everything has to be packaged ready to go. Instead of, I think the best thing you can do is like build the plane as you fly it. Like, just dive in. And all the best entrepreneurs I know, like, literally just started. Like, they put the perfection aside. Like, we're all like kind of a little bit type A, right? Like, a little bit of perfectionist, but like, there comes to a point where you just have to go for it. Did you feel that way? Like, did you feel, I can already tell, I mean, after our small handful of interactions together, that you are very type A, attention to detail, like, have it together. But how did you just get the guts to just go for it and eliminate that sense of perfection?
Yeah. I mean, I definitely had imposter syndrome. And I think that's something a lot of entrepreneurs struggle with, not only in the beginning of their career, but also years and years down the road too. I'm always struggling with imposter syndrome. So I guess to get started, I just took the leap. I mean, I didn't have a lot to lose at that point being in high school. So I just decided to go for it. And granted, I went to a small school, and I mean, it was, people noticed that I was starting a business, and that wasn't exactly easy because I wasn't taken seriously from that starting point and had some struggles there. But I think just starting and being honest about where you're at in your journey with people, if you're starting a business and you're selling a thing, I don't think it's doing anybody any good to pretend like you're the best in the field, but just being honest with yourself and honest with others where you're at in your journey is really the best way to build from where you're at. And I think investing in yourself, investing in your business is the best thing you can do. A lot of people struggle with how to financially build a business. You know, people think you need so much money to start a business, which that's not necessarily true either. It's really just coming down to sacrificing in other areas of your life and figuring out, you know, what those priorities are to you. So I know I'm being ambiguous. There's so much to unpack there, but
I know, again, like four more things I have follow-up questions for. Again, I can relate to this just even with the podcast. I think I might have told you the story over brunch, but when I had the idea, and it's like such beauty when you're younger and just diving into it, like you don't really have imposter syndrome yet because you're so, you have so much like belief and sense of self, and you're so like young and spirited, and you haven't been introduced to all these like hyper successful, incredible like career people yet. Like you're just so excited. And so when I started my podcast, it was kind of the same thing. Like I just was a 26-year-old with a voice who like wanted to, you know, do big things. And I was told every day that you go without posting your podcast or getting your message out there is a day that someone who needs to hear your message is not. And so like, you're not going to have the perfect intro and you're not going to have the perfect branding. You won't have the perfect equipment, but like, just do it. And I'm so grateful I did because I'm on season 4 and I feel like I'm just now starting to like polish things up the way that I want to. But like, I had to start. I literally just had to start it. And, you know, like you're saying, now I get imposter syndrome. Like now at 30, almost 31, I like look around at all these people who are killing it. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm nothing like them. But it's too late. Like I took the plunge. I'm 4 seasons into it. I'm going to keep going. But it's really, really tough to just get started. And you're talking about like prioritization. Like how do you say when you're building something from the ground up, you start prioritizing like what to do first?
Yeah, I mean, I think it all comes down to your goals, right? And so I'm a big dreamer, and I know you and I bonded over this as well. When you're multi-passionate, like where do you even start when you have all these passions and all these ideas? I think first, it's such a good thing to take note of what a gift it is to even be passionate about something. I guess myself being in my 20s, I've seen my peers, you know, struggle with like, they don't know what they're passionate about. They don't know what they want to do. So if you're a person who has a passion for something, like count that as a gift, first of all, because that is a certain fire in your soul that a lot of people long for. And I'd say in order to foster that, in order to figure out, let's say you don't know what your goals are, but you just love doing a certain thing, do more of that. The more you do of that thing, it will unravel itself. I had no idea I was going to end up living in a world-class city, shooting, you know, super high-end weddings with, you know, alongside very noteworthy people. Like I had no idea I was going to be in this field when I was 15, just shooting in the forest preserve with my best friends from high school. You know, I had no clue.
Yeah.
But it was something that I enjoyed doing and enjoyed spending my time doing that. And I'm so grateful I did. So I would say just kind of doing more of that, practicing the parts of whatever your passion is and creating is the best way to kind of unpack that.
Yeah. I think that's so simplistic, but so moving. I've said on, you know, so many podcasts before, people are always like, Kelly, how do I pursue my passions? Like, how do I balance being multi-passionate? Like, those are all questions that I get all the time. And that's the same advice. I'm like, do more of it. Like, do more of it. You have no idea what it's going to turn into. But when you start doing more of it, you're going to get better. You're going to start to figure out your time management. You're going to figure out Like, is that truly bringing you joy? Like, is that a temporary hobby? Like, check in with yourself along the way. Like, am I still having fun doing it? And then sometimes, you know, 2 years down the road, maybe that's not something that you're incredibly passionate about, but you took away tools from it. Or maybe you're 10 years down the road and you're still, your soul's still ignited by it. For example, like when I did photography, you can relate to this. I had always been a photographer my whole life. You know, my parents got me my camera in like fourth grade. It was like, you know, point and shoot crappy digital camera from Walmart. And then I did yearbook staff, and then I did photography in college. And then I was like, oh, like photography, that makes sense. Like that checks. I think I want to be a photographer. Started doing it on the side. And I made it about, it's like 2 years, like continuously shooting. I found a mentor in San Diego. I was doing weddings. I was doing engagement shoots. I was doing couple shoots. And about after 2 years, again, doing more of that passion, I was like, I don't think I like being a wedding photographer. I think I very much like being a portrait photographer. I like the artistic side of it. I don't think I like doing event photography because it changes your craft a lot.
Yeah.
And I'm so happy that I went on that voyage of discovery, like before quitting the Navy and being like, oh, this makes sense. Like I've always liked photography. Clearly I'm meant to be a photographer. Like I really did start kind of balancing that passion. And, but I took so many tools away from that chapter, teaching myself about personal branding, working with clients, building a website, like all of those things. I literally turn into like my personal brand, doing social media, all that stuff now. But I had to do more of it to figure out if that was actually something that I could see myself doing long term. In my case, it wasn't, but obviously in your case, it was.
Yeah. And I mean, I think that goes back to prioritizing, right? When I say do more of it, I essentially am saying make it a priority. And that if that means cutting out other things, that might be what's necessary to really figure out if that's the leap that you want to take. I've found a lot of creatives get stuck between choosing, you know, their 9-to-5 job or finally going full time with their passion. And I think if more time was spent, or honestly, just like taking the leap and taking a risk on yourself, truly, then more people would be doing what they love full time for their job. Honestly, truly, what I'm doing doesn't even feel like my job half the time. Sometimes it does, you know, when we're writing invoices and doing all the back work, that's not as fun. But when I'm chatting with couples and like really doing what I'm passionate about, it doesn't feel like work. And I just wish more people took a bet on themselves, took that chance, took the risk to get themselves to that point, because it's not as hard as we make it out to be in our brains. You don't have to put all these walls up, these excuses. It really is possible, but you just have to do it.
Yeah. So do you feel like when you, I know you mentioned like you did go to college and you graduated from college. Did you just launch right into Stephanie Lane Photography full time, or was there like kind of a stepping stone into that?
Yeah. So I took another risk. I remember my family was like, are you sure you want to go full time into this straight out of college? And I really did. I had a mentor at the time who I, you know, again, I invested in myself at that point. I spent a large amount of money in this mentor to really try to give myself the tools I needed to take this full time right out the gate. That was the best investment I ever made in my business. And what's funny enough, I graduated from college in 2019, as you know, it was right before the pandemic hit in 2020. And going full time with my business, that means I did not have any other job to fall back on during that time. It was incredibly hard in 2020. But because I took that risk and I invested in myself and I set aside the financials to do that, my business survived its first year through a pandemic when wedding photography companies were shutting down left and right because a lot of weddings weren't happening. But by taking those risks, by investing in myself, by believing, you know, like I can do this, and really putting in the work and prioritizing it, we made it through and came out of COVID even stronger. So crazy to say that, but totally worth it. Yeah.
That's so amazing. So, I mean, on that note, through COVID, people aren't interacting, you know, they're not really giving each other referrals, they're not meeting for brunch, they're not chatting about this awesome photo shoot they just had. I mean, he had been doing it for a while, obviously, building your business, but how did you craft this reach and this like clientele that you have now? Like that takes talent to reach out to, you know, and find these clients and then build this space that you have.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I think a lot of it came from truly what I unknowingly set up for myself as a 15-year-old. Honestly, like building those relationships from such a young age and truly caring. I remember one of the biggest takeaways I had from my mentor was that you actually have to care. You actually have to give a shit, is what he said.
Wow. Isn't it crazy how simple that is, but it's like powerful? Like you have to care. Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's like when it comes to people, they know when you're authentic. They know when you're being genuine with them. And so that is something that I put in the forefront of my mind. The second it starts to feel like salesy and work, I'll look people in the eye now and I'm like, I don't know if I'm the best fit for what you're looking for. If you just want a photographer to show up, shoot, and leave, like we are way more intentional than that. And so maybe we're just not the best fit and that's okay. And so I'd say to answer that question, what really carried me through was those relationships that we had built with past clients and the word of mouth and the loyalty that comes from establishing such a good foundation in a company is huge. It's everything. So I'll say that till I'm blue in the face, is that relationships are everything. No matter what business you're in, no matter, you know, Kelly, that's how we are here right now together, is the effort that it takes to establish relationships and actually care about people.
I can relate in a completely different capacity. I'm just going through my little like journey of life here. As a recruiter in the Navy, that's what people, like I did really, really well as a recruiter. And my chain of command being like, what are you doing? It's groundbreaking. Like, how are you recruiting so many people into the Navy? Like doctors, nurses, dentists, whatever. And I was like, I care. I actually care. I actually really love my job and I really love the Navy and I come from a Navy family and I relate to these people. Like I'm recruiting people who are like 5 years younger than I am. Like I remember what it was like to be in college and not be sure of myself and not know about how important financial stability was or like how cool it is to travel or to live, you know, on my own, like without parental help. Like I can still speak to all of that. And I was like, and I truly like show up to work and I care. And I kept telling them over and over and over, like, you can teach certain skills, maybe, you know, try to give people tools, resources, but you truly can't teach people how to care. And I feel the same thing like leadership, even nowadays in the Navy. Like, again, you can try and teach and give tools and resources, but you can't really teach them how to care. So, like, that's powerful stuff. Like, care about your passion, care about what your business, care about what you're doing. You don't care about it. Like, why are you doing it? I don't understand why people are.
Absolutely. I believe truly the most successful people are the ones who take the time to invest in themselves. And therefore that pours out into their relationships with others. And so I think like it all starts with internal work, which I'm also really big on, is setting aside the time to prioritize. You know, if I don't care about someone, I want to know where is that coming from within me? To where like that's not something I want, you know, in my heart or in my day-to-day life. I want to care about the people in front of me and the people I'm working with. And so I think it's just a matter of too setting aside the time to be in tune with yourself and exploring those things as well. Because it matters. It really does.
I love that. Before we get into some rapid fire questions, I'd love to expand a little bit more on things that you're using to build your business. It's probably different than even what you were doing 5 or 10 years ago. So like to date, what are some of the most important tools that you have or things that you've invested in to get you where you are now?
Yeah, absolutely. I think one of the biggest learning curves I had in my business was learning how much more I can do if I just have the willpower to delegate and trust others with my business. I mean, my business is my baby. It's my name, you know, it's my reputation. And to lay down my pride and realize, you know, I could really use some help in these other areas allowed me to free up the time to really invest in my passions, the parts of the business that I am passionate about. And so by far, my most useful tools, hands down, would be Hannah and Bree. Hannah is my manager.
Hannah. Okay.
Yeah. These are people.
Okay. That's like an app. Like what?
Hannah's my manager. So she kind of like oversees everything. She handles like COIs and just all that extra stuff that I don't necessarily want to make the time for. Like I said, it all comes down to prioritizing things. So she's amazing. She's like my lifeline. Hannah just oversees kind of the back end of the business things, emails, things like that. And then Brie, she is more doing the admin work. So kind of communicating with clients, making sure everything's, you know, in order, sending out emails, like the routine work. And both of them are just incredible. They're like the heartbeat to what we do. So I'd say those are my most useful people for sure, who I just totally rely on, which is amazing.
How did you come to connect with them? At what point did you know, like, okay, I probably need to get a manager?
Yeah. So funny enough, Hannah and I connected in college. She was going to school for like business administrative work. And I was like, again, came from a relationship. She's actually one of my bridesmaids in my wedding this year.
Wow.
So truly, like truly, it comes down to relationships. And yeah, that's kind of how we connected years and years ago now. And then Brie, she's a few years older than me, but she was in my sorority. I just like reached out through the grapevine, also through relationships. Yes.
No way.
And she's sweet as can be, like reached out to me. We connected that way as well. So yeah, I like to go through personal relationships to look for people, word of mouth, things like that. But we have found photographers before on other platforms. But yeah, it's kind of the people. Yeah. And then also have a team of photographers who work with me. They're amazing. But when it comes to like resources that we use, I'd say HoneyBook is kind of like our lifeline when it comes to our CRM, like platform, communicating with clients, collecting payments, things like that. We use HoneyBook every day.
HoneyBook.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a big one for photographers. Also, QuickBooks keeps kind of our financials in order, keeping track of, you know, how we're doing compared to the last year, all that. Those are the two big ones. I also use like, I use a lot of different platforms. I'll probably be here all day, but we use a variety of things to track mileage, things like that as well. Yeah. So.
Wow. Okay. There's so many aspects to it. I can't even imagine.
Lots of different things. Zoom. I use Zoom a lot.
I mean, I can't even imagine running a business full-time because I do what I do, not even part-time. I mean, it's like on the side and I have six different email addresses and like seven different accounts for everything that I do. I have three different Instagram pages. I have like all of the stuff and all of the stuff that goes in between working with clients and all that. Like, props to you. You're doing it. And it's incredible.
Thank you.
Be proud of that. If someone hasn't told you that in a while, like, it's truly like I interact with professionals all the time. And I've interacted with a billion photographers, you know, in the last 10 years, especially. But you stick out as someone who's like very secure in your craft and who you are and what you offer and extremely talented. So you're doing amazing.
Thank you. That's so kind.
As Kris Jenner would say, you're doing amazing, sweetie. You're doing amazing, sweetie. So thank you. Thank you so much. Thanks for sharing some of your tips and your wisdom and for just being another incredible, powerful woman out there showing us how to get things done.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. I so appreciate you and just your heart behind your platform and just how you encourage women to do both. It's such a powerful message, and to be one more woman who can help, you know, take that message.
All right, so we're going to get into some rapid fire Q&A. I already pulled one of my rapid fire questions. Typically, I always ask for like tools and resources, but I wanted you to expand. So first up, what is your current Starbucks order? I actually already know the answer to this.
Yes. I would say it is a cold brew with two pumps of vanilla and sweet cream cold foam on top, light ice.
I remember us talking about this because it was like the rainy Chicago morning. And I was like, let's get Starbucks first before we met up for brunch. Honestly, like, what is your favorite thing to shoot right now out of everything?
Honestly, probably boudoir.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like a low-key part of the wedding industry, but a lot of my brides will do boudoir as like a gift to their future husband. And yeah, I just, the empowerment that women get from those sessions is so fun.
Okay, follow-up question. How do you prep for a boudoir shoot if you're like the one being photographed?
So I tend to find it works best to bring a little bit of alcohol and turn on some fun music. So I usually take some shots with my bride or my client and then turn on some fun music. It's completely private. I like them to feel safe and secure. And yeah, people say they're comfortable around me, so that helps. And we just have a fun time together.
I would be really comfortable with you, but I would just, and it's funny because I've like, we'll pose in a bikini in front of hundreds of strangers on the beach, but boudoir, I like would need a couple shots of tequila for sure. I don't know like what it is, but there's a different change. What are some 2023 bride trends that you're loving?
Oh, okay. So colorful weddings are back. That's been super fun to see.
Ooh.
Yeah. So we've been into a lot of like muted tones the past few years. Colorful weddings are back. I would also say we've been seeing more like live entertainment at weddings, which is super fun, like mimes and dancers, which that was never really a thing.
Mimes? Whoa.
Yeah. Like actual live entertainment. I would say those are the two biggest, like, different ones. And bud jars are so cool for florals. I could go on all day.
Wait, when are the mimes popping out? Is this, like, a cocktail hour thing? Or, like, I need to know more about the mime.
I think it's, like, dinner entertainment.
That's so creative.
I know. It's unique.
Sometimes I miss being a bride. And then other times, I know you're a bride right now. But also, like, the trend just constantly changed. It was, like, exhausting. Like, I was, like, tired of following the change in trends. There's so much all the time. Oh, podcasts you're listening to right now.
I love Brené Brown. I love her podcast. I listen to the Six Figure Photography podcast from time to time.
Ooh, I've never heard of that one.
That's actually run by my mentor, Ben Hartley. So he's amazing. So yeah, he's kind of like, he was who I invested in for my business mentorship and such. And his podcast is full of good things to take away from. So highly recommend him. Shout out Ben. If anyone's looking to build like a photography business, they should definitely go check out the Six Figure Photography Business podcast.
Okay. Any like fun entertainment kind of ones or just mostly personal development?
I've been listening to yours lately. Yeah.
Thanks. You didn't even have to say that. Did not pay her.
You didn't. When you asked me to come on the show, I was like, oh, I need to listen to these and like hear who she's talking to. And so I would say yours, actually.
Thanks. I appreciate that. I usually always do a disclaimer, like besides Misunderstood Podcast, and then I listened to myself say that on like an episode recently when I was editing it. And I was like, you know what? That's very presumptuous, Kelly. Like people may not be listening to Misunderstood Podcast. So it's the first time I didn't say it and you said it anyway. So thank you. I appreciate the support.
Yes. Podcasts are kind of like my self-help building time when I'm driving. So like Gold Digger is another one. And then I read fiction books for fun.
Okay, last but not least, as I mentioned, you're a bride. I love that you mentioned your fiance in your bio. I know you spend a lot of time with him, as much time as possible. What is like your favorite part of wedding planning right now? And like, what are you looking forward to the most for your wedding day, which is in November, correct?
Yeah, November of this year. I know we're crazy. We just got engaged in February, so it's kind of a fast turnaround, but I'm so excited. I just love him so much. Favorite part of wedding planning would be probably just seeing how helpful he's been with everything. Aww. Has been really cool. I know a lot of times like the groom is hands off, which not that he has a lot of opinions, but just in terms of getting things done, he's been like over the top helpful, like booking things and organizing like hotel blocks and, you know, making sure we have a party bus and booking the honeymoon, which, oh my gosh, that's been so fun to dream about together. We're going to Antigua, which is going to be a blast.
Ooh.
Yeah. In terms of what I'm looking for most on the day, I would say is being present. Yeah. I don't know. I've obviously seen hundreds of weddings at this point and it goes so fast. I know how fast it goes. Even as like someone who's working the wedding, it goes fast. So I can't imagine as a bride and groom how quickly it goes. And I'm just so excited to be so present in all of our little moments. When he was proposing, even I was like, I'm going to remember everything he's about to say.
Pay attention.
Yes. So that's what I'm looking forward to.
That's so amazing. I love what you said, be present. On a final note, I'll say, you know, this is a piece of advice I give to anyone who's getting married. For me, I was so insane, such a planner, A-type, every little detail was organized to the T. But I promised myself, no matter what, when the rehearsal dinner came, to let go. Let go. Everything from that point has been planned and orchestrated, and whatever happens is part of your story. So like if the cocktail napkins aren't in the right place, or the centerpieces didn't turn out perfect, or your band is delayed, or in my case, my second photographer and my officiant almost didn't make it to Ohio for the wedding, like I didn't even let that stress me out, because I was like, okay, if I have to literally pull an officiant off the street, great. It'll be like Friends. Like, I don't know if you watch Friends, but at Monica and Chandler's wedding, like they pulled a Greek Orthodox like pastor or minister from like the hotel. Like I was like, great. And I'm part of my story. And I just had fun. So like from that moment on, just like let go and let live and enjoy every little bit of it. It's going to be beautiful. I can't wait to stock everything. It's going to be perfect.
So excited. Thank you for the love and the encouragement. Yeah, I'm just pumped for it to be our turn. It's going to be a blast. So going to let go and let it be what it is. And that's where I think the most of the joy comes from, is just being present and enjoying it.
Exactly. Well, please let us know where we can both find you as a photographer, but also as a bride, so we can all stalk you and all your beautiful pictures, both in front and behind the camera. So yeah, so listeners can find you.
Yeah. So my personal Instagram is StephanieLang8. My business one is just Stephanie_Lang_photography_. That one's kind of long. And then my website is StephanieLangPhotography.com. So pretty straightforward. Yeah.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much, Stephanie, for being here. I appreciate you. And again, being part of this community of powerful women just out there doing both and showing us how to do it and giving your tips on how we can better ourselves too.
Of course. Love you, Kelly. Thank you for your message, your encouragement, and your friendship. Excited to see you next week and hang out. And yeah, we'll be excited to hear your podcast coming up.
Thank you. Thanks, girl. Thanks so much for tuning in to another episode of Misunderstood Podcast. I love hearing from you guys, and I want you to take a screenshot of this episode, tag at misunderstood.podcast on Instagram, and share a takeaway from today's episode. Something you loved, something you wanted more of, whatever it is, it helps me learn what you guys want to hear. Please consider leaving a review on iTunes or Spotify. I want to give a special shout out to my friends at Hatch for producing this episode. If you're looking to launch a podcast, or if you already have one, you can get unlimited podcast editing by visiting usehatch.fm. That's usehatch.fm. Thanks so much, guys. Until next week, this is your Misunderstood, Kelly Hall. The views and opinions presented here in this episode are those of myself and do not necessarily represent the views of the DoD or its components. Appearance of or reference to any commercial products or services does not constitute DoD endorsement and those products or services. The appearance of external hyperlinks does not constitute DoD endorsement of the linked websites or of the information, products, or services therein.